dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody out there in SVC land. This is Bruce Knox, and I am one of your hosts for the SVC Sports Talk. This is show 153. Welcome back. It's spring. You can't tell it sometimes by the weather, but it is. And as always, our show is brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. And I have with me the soothsayer of SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs from SVCSportsZone.com. Welcome, Shane.
Welcome, Bruce. Really excited to be back. It's always a fun time of year here to talk spring sports. I know a lot of times our numbers say the listenership's down a little bit, which is normal in spring sports when you consider the amount of athletes compared to maybe the rest of the year. But I'll say this. I think these spring sports are my favorite. And maybe I'm a little bit biased to that being a spring coach myself, but I feel like the listeners we have are a little bit more passionate, and I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by that later in one of my answers. But I just feel like there's something different about a baseball or a softball or a track person. I'll explain a little bit more what I mean later, but that's what makes the show really fun here in the spring.
All right. We had it just seems like, in a way, it seems like it was a long time ago. In a way, it seems like it was only yesterday that we wrapped up with show 152. And that was kind of the finish to the winter. Do you have anything kind of add to how the winter played out there? I guess there were still some teams in competition when we stopped for the winter.
Yeah, I mean, we had some wrestling success with some individuals there at Southeastern Paint Valley, going all the way to the highest level at state, and some of the basketball finishes were maybe a little tough, maybe a little earlier than we expected, but we had some individual success in terms of the record books. And you know, the boys' league is going to be really interesting next year as you go. It looks like we're going to have a couple boys' coaches, mm-hmm. maybe. Step aside and right. Do some other things. I won't get into that quite yet in case, you know, they're still making that public, but I know I've been told off the record there a little bit that's the case. And the boys league certainly takes a hit at graduation, so it's going to be, you know, maybe by sports definition down a little bit. And then the girls league, yeah, it takes a hit as well, but some young talent coming back there, and then the growth of wrestling. So yeah, overall, the winter was a success. It was a lot of fun to cover, a lot of fun to watch, and you know, we're certainly ready to head to spring.
Well, speaking of heading to spring, what's the outlook as far as you can see for the spring?
Well, it's really my favorite time of year. You know, I guess it's safe to say that I like sports a little bit, and
it's safe to say that.
Yeah, you know, we're taping this here on a recording on a Sunday night, the 3rd, and tomorrow being Reds opening day.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, looking back on, you know, my childhood and then all the way now as an adult, you know, probably my single biggest enjoyable sports event is the Reds opening day. Mm-hmm. I know we grew up, my family, my mom and dad take my brother and myself to a lot of the games for several years, and then we got a little older and got into other things and we couldn't do that, but it's always a special time. I always joke it's the one time of year where you feel like the Reds are in it still. The
like but a no, Chicago the, Cub fan.
Right? Yeah, but it's a cool day, right in the middle of March Madness of basketball. You know, the Masters right around the corner. It's just a really neat sports time of year. And then obviously for me, you're at the start of high school baseball season, and then you throw that in with their softball and track coverage, and it just makes the website really a fun time. So yeah, when I look to the outlook of spring, you start looking across at some of the track programs and some of the unique athletes coming back, and then obviously on the baseball and softball diamond, you certainly have some special talent coming back as well off of some success from last year. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
I kind of wanted to touch on something here. Just full disclosure, I guess, for anybody that's not familiar with the situation. But in addition to being an avid sports fan, Shane is also the varsity coach for Paint Valley Baseball. And so when we say he's busy, he's immersed in sports. Boy, is he immersed in sports. You know what? You know, you have Sundays off. When Sundays, we usually tape the show. So, and now with baseball, and like you said, the Masters will be wrapping up next week. It's a convergence of all kinds of sports. And I think Shane has the happiest look on his face tonight that I've seen him in ages.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Sundays, Bruce. After church today, my brother and I got together and we took mom and dad out to Olive Garden there to celebrate 45 years of marriage tomorrow. So that was a lot of fun to get with the family. But then the reason I was laughing, I actually ended up at a junior high baseball game this afternoon. So even sometimes there. But no, it is. It's a busy time, you know, school. School-wise, with teaching, you're getting to that testing time, and obviously that's a high intensity level time of in terms of work. You're getting into the spring season. You have the website, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's something that, you know, a lot of times you don't look at it as work because you just enjoy it so much. It's just something that that's fun. That my family really enjoys it. I know right now my wife, Bethany's getting through some knee surgery there. So it's been tough on her, and I hate being away from home as much, but the family's been great to help. But you know, she's gotten a lot better moving along, and she's been able to get out to some games here. So it's just, yeah, it's something my wife and I have always enjoyed doing. And the website's really certainly given me a great deal of just fun entertainment, a chance to really get to know people beyond maybe just the coaching aspect.
Again, we want to mention, fans, that this show, as all of our podcasts, have been brought to you by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, which is located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way, just behind the Hampton Inn in Chillicothe. It's a great place for people of all ages. So for your next party or your group event, you can call them at 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. I was looking at their website earlier, and looks like the spring soccer leagues are already underway, but they've got, of course, the great food. They've got things for parties and events, group events. They have their inflatables. They have other attractions, the video games and so forth, and just a great place. And if you do go out there and you know, you're talking to the staff, please mention that that Shane and Bruce from SVC Sports Talk sent you. That's just 1 Nancy Wilson Way. It's back behind the Hampton Inn there. Can't miss it to the west, and tell them we sent you. And we appreciate very much Triple Crown's support through the years.
So absolutely.
That brings us up to spring sports, and how's it been going in the early weeks here? Maybe we'll take them one at a time. First, let's talk about a little bit about baseball.
Well, certainly you mentioned sponsorship there. When I start to get into baseball, softball, so forth, I want to make sure I give a shout out to CNK Athletic Equipment. They're located up there, fans, in Circleville, Ohio. It's 740-477-9828. I know a lot of our listeners have not just high school kids involved, but a lot of the younger kids involved in the youth league starting up. Make sure you give them a call. But, you know, Bruce, on the baseball side, to answer your question, I think we're shaping up for one of the great SVC leagues we've had my 20 years of being around the baseball league. It's incredible. It really is. When you look at what's coming back, obviously the baseball league's good every year. There's really no such thing as a down year in SVC baseball, but this one truly has the makings of being really, really special. You know, baseball to me always starts with pitching and catching, and when you go around the league, you really have some elite batteries, and the left-handed pitching is really unique in our league, and then obviously there's some really good right-handers as well. So, you know, when you start going down through, obviously Adina has an amazing amount of depth and talent coming back. You know, Peyton Valley has a lot coming back off their two-time district championship team here. And then Zane Trace gets the Maori kid out, and they return seven or eight starters with him. And I had a chance to see them in the early going, and boy, were they athletic and good. Southeastern goes as good as anybody, 1-2 punch. Python's had a good first week. Huntington's undefeated to get started. You know, it's you know, you go right down the way. And then what happens is you even see a team like Westfall. And I know record-wise, you know, they get off to the tough start there. Mm-hmm. But it's a situation where, you know, they've played some tough teams, and they're really, really good still. I mean, they're a team that they've lost a couple games there that could have easily gone the other way. But I remember second half of the season saying last year that I thought they would be really good. And then you take Uniota. I had a chance to see them in person early in the early going here. They're off to the 2-2 start, but improved in a lot of different areas, in my opinion, just not in with their depth of pitching, but a little bit more athletic. You know, they have some pop. They can run the base as well. So, yeah, when you start going down through these teams, it's really setting up to, you know, when you go from 1-8, whatever that ends up being, mm-hmm. starting tomorrow night, boy, is this league good. And if the brackets and the tournament will set up to where they don't have to beat up on each other, it could be a really, really special spring for the SVC baseball league.
Okay. What about softball? Is it similar?
Well, you hear me say just a second ago, there's no such thing as a down year in SVC baseball. I think that probably goes for SVC softball too. Now, SVC softball is coming off of a 2-3-4 year run here that's just been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people will look now and say, okay, maybe there's still some dominant top half teams, but there's a lot of questions out there. Maybe by SVC softball standards, it's down. I mean, goodness, whatever that means. I mean, you know, you have someone like the Blevins girl still at Uniota. You look at the Newland girl at Paint Valley. I mean, goodness, we're a week into the season, and she's thrown three no-hitters in a perfect game.
Right.
I mean, it's she's just phenomenal. And, you know, I mean, Westfall still has a lot of kids. I know they're making some changes there in the circle with the pitcher, but man, they still have a lot of kids back that have a state championship to their credit. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to take some, a week or two here to get to know some of the lineups, to get to know some of the new names here and there. But I think what you'll find is, as the softball league gets going and you start comparing it to softball around the area, you're still going to find SVC softball's just as elite, sure.
What do we have as far as track?
Well, in the early going, it's hard not to look at some of the star power. You know, the depth of the Uniota kids is obviously something that's often overwhelming in our league.
I had a chance to see them, Shane. What was it? Tuesday night last week.
Okay.
They ran at Vinton County, and they were in a class of their own. They really were.
Yeah, they really are. They're really elite. They're really deep. You know, they'll have great relay teams because, again, their depth of athletes. And then, you know, obviously their distance speaks for itself over the years. And, a lot of times they just – overwhelming is the word I like to use in terms of what they do to the league. Zane Trace probably goes into that category at times. It'll be interesting, Bruce, to see – I haven't had a chance to ask – and maybe I'll get a chance to this week is I get a chance to see some SVC people. I'm interested to see if some of the Uniota kids can maybe be challenged by some of the Zane Trace relay teams and so forth, if some of the boys in particular are willing to double up on some sports in the spring. So it'll be interesting to see if some of the baseball kids go over and run some track and so forth. So that'll be something interesting to follow there, because if not, I would say particularly in those relay areas, I just can't see the depth of athletes. You know, when the four athletes at Uniota can put boys and girls in some of those. Now, beyond that, though, I think to answer your question, I think some of the star power is kind of interesting to follow because, you know, maybe, you know, you look at what a Paint Valley boys team did early on here at the Zane Trace invite. That was impressive. You know, with Hatfield and Ott, and I know Paint Valley's getting some throwing points there from Ott and Burton, and that's a very impressive win when you think of Paint Valley going over there and edging out Hillsborough and Zane Trace in a field of some bigger schools. Obviously Zane Trace girls just lap the field. They're so deep in some of the things they can do. So what I'll be interested to do is take some of the bombs page there and see some consistency over the next 2 to 3 weeks and really start to see how things are going to match up. Track, we've talked about this on SVC Sports Talk. Track a lot of times doesn't get a lot of the coverage because they kind of want it that way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times
don't show the regular hands,
season. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times the regular season's kind of a guessing game or a little hide and go seek, if you will. I mean, it's just, it's a little bit different. The more and more I talk to track coaches, I get it. But you know, they're basically trying to train to be at their absolute peak on 2 or 3 special occasions later in the spring. And when you put it to me like that, I certainly get it. So, you know, sometimes we have to dig a little deeper for our track information, but you know, again, we're going to try our best to do that on SVC Sports Talk. I know we had a chance to get some help through social media. Certainly appreciate that, to update our SVC records page. So fans can check that out there. It's right there on the track page. The link is that shows you some of the links. We've even been able to add some of the names from the past there. We're still looking for a few on the boys, if anyone's listening out there and can help us out. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
All right, Shane, that's a good look at spring sports in the SVC. So fans, up next, we'll take a series of emails asking how the spring sports can grow in 2016. Had to let the bump music go a little bit longer just to get John Fogerty and the boys in there. Center field. That's kind of the Star Spangled Banner, if you will, to the spring for us. We're underway now and everything's legit. And like you say, the Reds open up tomorrow. But here in the SVC, we've got we're going to talk a little bit about some emails that we've had covering a topic where fans are looking forward to spring shows. And they say in years past, we've talked about the spring shows getting more coverage, the spring sports getting more coverage. And who really holds the biggest responsibility in making sure this happens? So this will be sure to touch some nerves, I'm sure, out there, because I think you have some opinions on this. Of course, we share in that responsibility, I think. But who else does as well?
Yeah, we do. I think shared is probably the one word answer to the emails and some of the conversations I've had. This is obviously something we've touched on for several years, because it's something that's spring sports in terms of the programs, the fans, the parents, the kids, something that they're constantly pushing for. You know, you got to understand there's a lot working against us, first of all. You know, we touched on this in the winter a little bit. The 5 o'clock starts. You're coming outside. The weather's not great. You look at the forecast over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's face it, a baseball, a softball, a track, it may not be the most comfortable, fan-friendly place to be. So it's a situation where a little bit of that works against us. But I think it's shared in terms of the media has to go explore a little bit more. You know, oftentimes on a baseball, softball night, it's busy. I mean, take tomorrow night, for example. We're going to open up SVC play if weather permits. You're going to come home 7:30, 8 o'clock, and you're going to start looking around for updates and things like that. And there's basically 16 coaches that have to participate and get involved in that to make as much information as possible. Because what's great about it, if 16 coaches get involved, now all of a sudden you can really just almost accidentally highlight 70 to 100 SVC athletes. And mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know, but it really does. So I think the media has to share in the responsibility of exploring. I think the coaches have to take some involvement in, especially at the varsity level, of doing your stats, getting your book updated there and getting those in. And then that goes to track coaches as well. I think a lot of times track coaches will just tell you, well, it's on BOMS page.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, it's sometimes hard to take the BOMS page and then sort through, and are you going to highlight every winner? Are you going to do an article? And, you know, it's, you know, again, don't be afraid as a track coach to let us know, hey, this was a really, this was a great race tonight. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did this, or in the high jump, you know, so-and-so cleared this, and then so-and-so was up, and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it might be. Was there a key record that jumps out? Because a lot of times it's just tough to go through there and really appreciate maybe a great relay finish or a great, you know, one-on-one. Like I was searching down through some of the names the other day, and one of the things that really jumped out to me was some of the female athletes that we have, you know, participating in track this year in some of the events, say, such as like the high jump. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a who's list of some of our female athletes. I was going to pull it up here just to give you an example here. If I go down through here, I go to the high jump. It's I look back to the girls basketball league and some of the kids that were throwing there, and it's really an impressive. You know, here's some of the long jump kids as well. I see a couple Zane Trace kids with Carlon Cox and the Foster kid from Edina, really good. The boys long jump, I noticed Tony Hatfield involved there. Boy, is he going to be a special athlete. The Dunn kid at Southeastern's been really good. Then you see someone like Ella Skeens. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a kid that, you know, she'll throw the shot and then she'll be out jumping and doing some of those other field events. It's phenomenal. But the pole vault is always a good one. So I guess those are the things that jump out at me, is give us feedback from that perspective of someone who is right there watching it, if that makes sense. I mean, a lot of times I can go down through here and I can look at the times and say, oh, that must have been a great finish. But was there something that maybe, you know, went into that or so forth? Because I think that's what makes it really, really a fun thing to break down.
And Shane, is it fair to say that this is a busier time of the year, or is that a cop-out? I mean, and I'm thinking too of, it just seems like there's everything going on. I mean, kids are getting, there's musicals, there's proms, there's, you know, summer jobs are starting to get in and, you know, involved. I guess that wouldn't involve the coaches, obviously, but everywhere, it seems just like all of a sudden, you know, spring has sprung and we're all very, very busy. And I know the coaches got to be that way as well. Sometimes they don't get back from a track meet until, you know, 9 o'clock at night or something like that.
Well, I think it is. And this is maybe in terms of a follow up. If you look at it like this, this is where social media gives us such instant feedback, because here's what I find with coaches. Sometimes they'll say, hey, sorry, I didn't get that. And they'll send you 2-3 things or whatever from, say, last week's game. Well, what I find on the website is people look at that scoreboard one night at a time, mm-hmm. or at least next morning at a time. It's a situation. If I don't have the results from, hey, who was Adina's leading hitter last night? Or, you know, what did Ella Skeens throw the shot last night? If I don't have that night, or at least no later than the next morning, mm-hmm. people, one, have already probably found out within a day or two if they care.
Right.
Or two, they don't want to know. You know, it's a situation where I think social media puts so much pressure on us to have that instant feedback of, you know, a lot of times now, you know, I know Derek Webb of the Gazette does a good job of this. He'll go cover a game. And, you know, I always enjoy looking back, even if I'm not following throughout. Well, you know, who was in the lead in the third,
right?
Third inning, who had the big hit, who did this? Or if he's at a track meet, it's kind of cool to actually know, okay, this event's up next. Here's who's winning. Here's the matchup he's seeing, or some anticipation. So I think what you find, see if you follow this, Bruce, and see if there's anything to this. Remember I mentioned in the opener, spring sports seem to be some of our most passionate fans. And here's where I think a lot of that comes from. I know in our society that obviously, like the NFL, college football, those things kind of rule the sports world in terms of the market and the media. But And that's fine and dandy because there's more people there. Well, more people mean more website hits, more newspapers bought, more TV packages bought. I get that. More sports, more stadiums being filled. But I think those people are, hey, I watch my team. I kind of follow them throughout the week, and then they'll play again next Sunday. Like I mentioned, the Reds opening tomorrow. I'm a passionate, passionate sports fan. So when I watch Ohio State play football, or I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, or whatever it might be, they're playing once a week. Mm-hmm. With the Reds, it's almost like I cling to every pitch every single night. So like tomorrow afternoon when the Reds get started, I'm the type of guy that either through TV, radio, or social media – I'm not exaggerating when I'll say in some ways, even if I have to go back because of my baseball job and do it, you know, through tape or whatever, right. I will literally probably follow 90 to 100% of every pitch thrown in a Reds game this year. So it's one of those things where anyone who's a Reds fan knows that can be very, very painful.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You poor, poor man.
So, but my point is, I think we can correlate that all the way down to SVC spring sports. Mm-hmm. I think our spring sports fans are most passionate because you don't have time to second guess your football coach on a Friday night and then wait a whole week and, hey, I'm going to go to another game. You want to tailgate with me? You want to do this? You want to do that or whatever? Because, again, you only need to put in about 2.5 hours a week and you're a super fan.
Yeah.
Where if you're going to be a super fan, I know at Paint Valley, my baseball team's played 7 times. Well, the league's only been going on 8 days, or the season's only been, you know, in the works 8 days.
Yeah.
I know Zane Trace played 6 times. And you know, so it's one of those things where it's every single night and it's cold, it's raining, it's then in sunshine.
Snow.
You mentioned it. It's a busy time of year to balance some of those things. And I think that's why I call some of our sports fans in the spring. The people who do listen to the show, I think I get some of my favorite feedback because of that. I think, one, they're some of the most knowledgeable fans we have, our spring fans. And two, the passion's really just unmatched.
I was going to say it's almost an intensity. There are fewer of the followers, if you will, because it's not the social event perhaps that a football game is or even a basketball game. But those people that go out to the track meets, those people that go out to the baseball, softball games are more intense about their following. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of people that come out that don't have a vested interest in it, you know, don't have a kid. Very few people outside of the parents, you know, or some super fans follow it.
That's probably fair. So again, what you have is you have 90 to 100% of your fan base, no matter how big that is, probably being far more subjective and a little bit more passionate than in other sports. That's a good point.
Yeah. You had as a follow up, and you've already kind of touched on this, is social media. I wondered, Shane, if anybody that you've seen anybody in the SVC utilize these sites that have apps where people can follow them pitch by pitch, that kind of thing. Is that in use right now in the SVC very much?
It's certainly growing. A lot of times, like the Game Changer and some of those things. It's certainly growing. I know a lot of people just have a variety of things. I know I use something called Score Booth, which it's not a live update, but it's something that's pretty much a daily update of stats and some different things. There's other things. Some people just use Coach Allen has an outstanding website at Zane Trace where he really gives his kids and his program a nice a thing. You can Google Zane Trace Baseball and it'll come up. It's a nice thing. He even keeps stats and leaders from his almost 20 years now at Zane Trace. It's a lot of fun to look back at some of those things. So that's very helpful. And it's also helpful to things like SVC Sports Zone because, you know, he's able to go on there. I know it. I can go on there and get the stuff and I can highlight those Zane Trace kids every night. You know, Coach Thomas uses a great program at Westfall there. Trevor will send it to me every night. I can get those right on there. So the programs, when you see kids getting highlighted, it's because people are taking advantage of some of these things in technology. Maybe just something as simple as having someone that snaps a picture of the book or sends me some leaders with the text.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to even be anything fancy, but certainly social media through Twitter updates or texting or these stat programs you refer to are certainly playing a role, and I think could probably play an even bigger role as people get more comfortable with them.
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't give the email address. It's to get in touch with Shane. It's admin1@svcsportszone.com, and you can drop him a line there. Obviously, we've also got the Facebook profiles. We've got Twitter. We mentioned the email. And then if you'd like to drop us a voicemail, you can do so at 740-569-3254. And I'll get that message to Shane anyway, right away. Let's head to extra innings, our rapid fire response here for Shane, if you will. Shane?
Yeah, that'd be great. Our first extra inning segment of the spring. It's a little bit similar to our fast break for those of you that listen throughout the year in basketball there. This segment will be brought to our listeners by Crown Hill Golf Club. Our first mention of them here in the spring. They're located up U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. That's just minutes from 104. Fans, all you have to do is give it a little call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Ask for Dave or Kevin. And tell them SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Bruce, I know I already have my five-round membership bought up. I've even been able to get a couple friends to go up and do the same. If you're someone who goes out and plays some different courses, you're absolutely nutty not to take advantage of that deal. It's a really good five-round membership. Take advantage of that. So basically the way this segment works, Bruce is going to throw out a couple quick questions to me. I'll try to keep my response somewhat quick, and fans play along and feel free to give us some feedback. Even though the name Extra Innings kind of lends itself to a baseball softball, we certainly include some of our track stuff in this as well. So it's just kind of a way to do a little rapid fire SVC spring sports. So Bruce, if you're okay with that, here we go with this week's version of Extra Innings.
Give the fans a major track headline to follow this spring.
I'm going to say tracking the elite to Columbus. I think it's one of those things where, there's so much talk about enrollment. And there's so much talk about, the conferences. Unfortunately, that probably plays a bigger role in a sport like track than any, because there's just certain depth and certain things and events that are tough for some of the smaller schools to compete in. But I think what's really neat is when you move beyond the elite athletes and the elite depth of some of your Muniota, Zane Tracy, whatever it might be, track some of these elite athletes, of Tony Hatfield and Ellis Skeen, some kids like that as they get into their postseason. And what's neat about that, too, is because we have that different enrollment in our league, you'll start to see some of these kids go into the bigger division. Some of the other kids come to the smaller division, so they don't have to knock each other out. So it's a chance for them to really to advance out. But I'd really track the elite to Columbus here in our SVC track this year.
How would you best summarize the SVC Baseball League this spring?
Unique for sure. It's one of those things where you have to be incredible on the mound to be good as a team, and boy, is this league good on the mound. When you look at Adina's depth, the left-hand pitching jumps out at me. When you look at a Blevins kid at Adina, the Chester kid had a nice outing there at Piketon, the Sigler kid at Uniota's back, obviously Dye at Southeastern, the Brooks kid at Zane Trace, I saw him early in the year. It's really good. Not to mention some of the right-handed arms. I know McFadden and Riley off to a good start there at Paint Valley. The Pop kid at Southeastern throws the ball hard. I know I'm missing some kids right off the top of my head to do that, but it's one of those things where you really have a chance to have a unique spring on the baseball diamond. It'll be a lot of fun to follow on SVC Sports Talk.
Shifting gears to softball, summarize the league for SVC fans.
Let's say answering questions. I think the reason I say that is I think we already know what we're watching, with a new one, with a Blevins. And I think sometimes you just sit back and enjoy that. But I think beyond that, there's a lot of questions out there. You're getting to know new pitchers at some other schools. I think in terms of the league race, I think there'll be a top half, bottom half split a little bit more so in years past. So I've got a lot of questions in terms of the depth of the league and where that's going to go. I think I'll be able to give a better feel for it here, you know, a couple shows into our spring season.
What is a major wish list item you have for SVC spring sports?
Well, I honestly didn't even do this on purpose. It kind of relates back to what we just talked about. I think it's pushing the media or pushing some of the coverage of SVC spring sports in terms of, you know, maybe the SVC track meet, doing some more live type of coverage with it. Maybe it's baseball, softball. I understand the 5 o'clock starts are tough sometimes, but, you know, 5 o'clock or not, daggone it, there's some really, really good baseball matchups out there. Mm-hmm. You know, when Newland and Blevins or Newland's pitching against Westfall or Blevins against Westfall there in softball, that's entertaining. So 5 o'clock or not, man, I just really would like to see us on a wish list kind of be able to push for more of that. And I know it's not easy. I think that's why we all have to share in the responsibility, but you'd love to see that take place.
Okay, that is our extra innings, again brought to you by the Crown Hill Golf Club. And give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. And tell them Shane from SVCSportsZone.com sent you. Wanted to mention again that you can get become a part of the show. We would love to have you as you provide input to us. You can do so through Facebook, through the Twitter profile, our email that I mentioned earlier, admin1@svcsportszone.com. And then you can phone us at 740-569-3254. Leave a voicemail message and we'll certainly use that or use the content thereof and hopefully get you on the program maybe even. And then we move in now to some, it's a question, and this comes from something that Shane related to me, that he's had a few texts, he's had some face-to-face discussions with coaches, players, and parents, and this all kind of centers around some of the challenges a spring coach or a program faces that a fall or winter sport does not, or a fall and winter coach does not. What was the conversation like about that, Shane?
It's really an in-depth list, and I just want to share some things out there, and obviously would love to get some parent feedback, love to get some player feedback, and then even some coaches. Obviously, I talk to them probably the most just because of getting a chance to see them, you know, throughout the week. But first of all, I think it's a culture thing of spring sports. Again, spring sports just seems to have a more laid back feel compared to saying being on a volleyball or a football or a basketball type of team. You get into the spring and there's so much going on. You mentioned it, you know, the drama, clubs around are doing their plays. You get proms coming up. Well, there's preparation for prom. You know, kids need to go out and get their dresses. They need to get their tuxes. They need to get this appointment. You know, they're in school all the way to 3 o'clock. They have practice. They can't always wait till, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock to do them. So it's constantly of a, you know, it's not like in basketball where you're going to catch some late practices and you get to go out after school and do some of those things. So a lot of times I think some of the challenges are getting everybody 100% attendance at practice. Mm-hmm. I think those are some challenges. And then I think some of the next things you start to come up with is weather. You know, yeah, weather might impact basketball a little bit with snow here and there. It might, you know, a couple games a year or whatever. Weather is just complete. You know, I stopped almost even putting my schedule out publicly. I'll give it to the parents and just say, look, you got to understand how much this is going to change out of the order here. It's just like you look this week, 2-3 nights looking of a chance of rain.
Yeah.
Well, certain fields that might wipe out a whole week if it comes at the right time and you know, with the right amount of rain. So those are some of the challenges that certainly come out. I know I hear track coaches even, you know, not every place is UNIOTA track. I hear a lot. No, I mean, I mean that in the most serious way, because what I mean by that is I assume at UNIOTA, if you don't get out there and get the work, you may not even make the event. You know what I'm saying? Where a lot of these schools, you're just dying for numbers. You have your 4, 5, 6 stud athletes that are going to score for you. And then where you're trying to close the gap on those top 2 or 3 teams is you're trying to get kids out. Well, let's face it. You know, kids come out and it's 44 degrees and the wind's blowing 30 miles per hour like it has here lately. I don't know that that's fun.
Yeah.
Well, and I know a lot of elite programs might say, well, it's not supposed to be fun. Yeah. Well, again, when you're trying to get the depth, a lot of times you're trying to sell your sport to an athlete just like any other program. So a lot of times it's not the most enjoyable thing to do. So those are some of the things I think you start to see. I think funding could start to become an issue. Like if I look at it from a coach's perspective, you know, obviously the spring sports with the 5 o'clock starts and the different ways the facility set up, a lot of times it's not generating money. Obviously it's not generating money the way football or basketball would. So a lot of times you're constantly hearing that. You know, so those are some of the challenges that are out there as well. But I think, you know, when you look into all of those things, trying to balance those things, that's probably a little bit different. Keep in mind your last too. You know, it's one of those things where they've gone through the fall sport, they've gone through the winter. School's about out. Seniors are kind of a weird thing to have on a spring team, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
it's a situation where it's
senior
got a lot on their plate. Well, they got a lot on their plate. They really do, and it does. So, you know, you're asked to wear a lot of hats. I know in coaching, I'm asked to wear a lot of hats that I wasn't asked to do just 6, 7 years ago. I do a lot more treasury department type of things now with some financial things that I have to do, with a couple more parent involvements, with some booster requirements and some fees there and so you have a lot more on your plate, and it kind of adds up. But I think that would be really, really neat to get some feedback on as well there.
You had down here, too, on the agenda, scheduling in schools and options for kids/families. What are you kind of thinking there?
Well, and I'm glad you did follow up. And I certainly want to give another shout out to CNK Athletics. You know, they've come on board with us, and it just makes so much sense to highlight them here as we're talking about spring sports. They're so good to the Southeast District throughout. So make sure you check out on our scoreboard pages. You'll see their address. You'll see their website. You'll see their telephone number. Certainly appreciate all their support. Again, that's CNK Athletics. Well, you know, Bruce, on that point, here's something that comes to my mind. Let's just use some of my kids at Paint Valley as an example, just so I can maybe make a point that maybe will strike something with a fan listening out there, and they can give us some feedback. I was just talking to one of my seniors the other day, a good young man named Caleb Johnson. He plays for me there at Paint Valley. And, you know, Caleb takes his classes. He has X amount of classes at Paint Valley he still has to take. Well, then he's off in his car. He's going out to Adena Medical Center. Sometimes he's going to Uniota with the nurse there doing some clinical hours. Mm-hmm. Well, then he lives in Bainbridge. He works at the McDonald's in Greenfield. So he plays 3 sports.
Wow.
And it's not like he just participates in them. You know, in football, he's a key contributor on a team that obviously did really, really well. In wrestling, he was back in the state again this year. And then in baseball, he's been a starter on back-to-back regional qualifying teams. So, you know, I was joking with him the other day, and I said, "And you have a girlfriend?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that about wipes out the rest of it." So it's one of those things. I think, in fairness to seniors in spring sports, it's almost to the point where the plate gets full, and you start seeing the end of the line.
Yeah.
And you can see why a Tuesday night baseball practice wouldn't maybe be the most important thing in his life. And as a coach, I think you truly have to understand that, because that doesn't mean the kid doesn't love baseball. It just means that, hey, I've got a lot going on here. I'm going to try to get to practice, get my hard work in. I got to get out. You know, so a lot of times it's that. I know I've got a couple kids, Tegan McFadden, Anthony McFadden, going to play some college football. You know, I just mentioned Caleb's going to play or go to college for wrestling. I've got other seniors that are doing. Josh Kreck's taking big time college courses. He's almost going to be into his sophomore, if not junior year, by the time he's done. It's amazing to see what these kids have done, and to see them balance sports the way they have. And I think in the spring that becomes extremely overwhelming, again, because of the timing of how it's always the after school thing. And they do have a lot of the social things coming up,
you know, and we're thinking about parents, you know, they may have two of these kids or three of these kids, maybe sometimes in junior high, maybe sometimes in high school. And man, that really pollutes things. I mean, I've seen situations where moms and dads go different ways with one athlete, and
well, they get the baseball, softball.
Yeah,
I know we have some of those parents where they're playing at the same time.
Yeah,
where they're running back and forth. Yeah. They're texting, "Hey, so and so's almost getting ready to hit," and they're running back and forth to the
Yeah, it's a time when people's plates are full. There's no question. And so it's a little different. I guess that's what we're saying here. But we'd like to get some feedback from people about just what makes it challenging, I guess, for spring versus some other times. So we're going to move now into our final segment throughout the spring season. Again, that is brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. And you can check out their website again at crownhillgolfclub.com. And anytime you visit the golf course, please make sure to tell Kevin and Dave that SVC Sports Zone sent you. So let's move into this week's post-game segment. And the question that we're going to talk about tonight is, what will we know a week from now, and what should we look for in this week coming up?
Well, I think we should just sit back and buckle up in terms of baseball, because I certainly wouldn't look at a scoreboard after Monday night or Wednesday night and Friday night and think you figured it out. I mean, there's no question that Adine is really, really good. But I'm telling you, all eight of these baseball teams are really, really good. And if the pitcher's on and you make routine plays, I'm telling you, anybody can beat anybody. I truly believe that. You could come out and you take like the Paint Valley Zane Trace matchup tomorrow night. Those are two really good baseball teams. You know, we're going to go out and play real hard. We could win that game. We could lose that game. You know, then we face a Piketon staff. We face a, you know, on Southeastern, you're going to face a Dyer Pop. You know, we could go 3-0. We could go 0-3. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I'm telling you, just buckle up for baseball. And if you're a baseball fan and you're not rooting for one school, you're in for an incredible ride. Now, as far as softball, I think you should really be starting to pay attention to some of the matchups. Start to look at what kind of games are being played. I think what you're going to find when a Blevins or a Newland or someone like that's involved, or like a Westfall, you're going to see some lower scoring. It'll be interesting to see if there's a little bit more offense, because the league's graduated so much pitching here recently. As far as the track, you just kind of try to follow the best you can with some events. Like I said, don't always believe what you see, because sometimes they're hiding some things on purpose. Sometimes they're moving some kids around. So it's probably a little too early to put too much stock into that. But I think that's probably here in a couple weeks, I think that, you know, when we'll get about the halfway point of spring, because keep in mind, spring is a short season,
right?
You know, about 5 weeks and you're done. I think you and I said the league opens tomorrow night on April 4th. And if I'm not mistaken, weather permitting, May 4th is the 14th game. So that's it. So it doesn't take long. It happens boom, boom, boom. And that's why I say a team can get really hot and you could finish 10-4 in the league. Or if you just struggled in the wrong stretch of games, you could be a pretty good baseball team in this league and go 5-9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, another thing that we were going to talk a little bit about is feedback from the fans. What kind of spring topics might they want us to talk about and to cover?
Well, had a great one already. A great one. Some Twitter feedback. And why it caught my eye was I'd had this conversation with several people. The Twitter comment was talking more on the softball side. I've also been in this conversation on the baseball side, and here's basically what it is. You're talking about the pitching limits, and if the fans aren't aware, a baseball pitcher can pitch 10 innings in any 3-day segment. Okay, so if I pitch 7 innings on Friday, that goes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Monday, I get those 7 back. I have 10. So I could technically pitch like 3 innings every day. Mm-hmm. You know, and it seemed, and they would just roll over, and I would always get those back. It's any 3-day segment. Well, even with that, you still get a lot of pressure as a coach on pitch counts. There's so many debates out there. I heard some different guys talking up at the clinic about it again this year. What is a pitch count? Do you monitor the arm? What's the temperature? Should they be throwing this if it's this cold? Should they be throwing curveballs? Should they be, some will say that the game pitch count doesn't matter. It's more how many stressful pitches did they throw? Did they have any in? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, hey, he threw 120 pitches tonight, but he never had an inning where he threw over you know, 20 or whatever it might be. So it's tough. And as a coach, you're under a lot of pressure because obviously you're trying to take care of your kid. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you'll get a mom and dad with an opinion. You'll get a fan with an opinion. Different kids will have opinions. And what I've learned in educating myself, I could line up about 5 or 6 high school Hall of Fame coaches and they'll tell you different things. So that right there tells me there's not a science to it. You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to monitor, and you have to know your kid. And sometimes kids can get hurt when even you did the right thing. Mm-hmm. Well, now let's move this to the softball side. This is where the Twitter feedback can come in. And I was just having this conversation with a couple baseball coaches in terms of us comparing our sport over. On softball, there's no inning rule.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm smart enough to know, but I'm assuming that people say, you know, that the natural arm movement of a softball pitcher, there's not much of a damage there. Well, a lot of times you'll see a softball pitcher pitch 5 straight nights, or you'll see a softball pitcher pitch both ends of a doubleheader. So the question is, should a softball pitcher have an innings limit? I think it went on to say, in this cold temperature, natural movement or not, it can't be safe for them to be throwing that many pitches or working that hard throughout the week or throughout the day. You know, in terms of that, it's hard for me to say. Like I said, I would have to ask someone far smarter than me in terms of the medicine. Maybe that's a great question for the Adena Sports Medicine people to get involved. I know we've had them on the show, mm-hmm. One of our great sponsors. Maybe that would be a neat thing. Yeah, that's something that has really become a hot topic, and I'd really love to get some feedback on people in terms of what they think.
Well, the sky's the limit as far as what we could talk about, so we'd like to hear from you again. Hit us up through Facebook, Twitter, the email, or you can give us a call as well. And the email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. Well, Shane, that about puts a wrapper on episode 153, 153 times we've done this. Believe it or not.
A lot of fun.
And I think we're going to be with you throughout the spring here for another 4 or 5 weeks. We'll just kind of see how things play out. No hard and fast rules. So please, you know, we're waiting to hear from you out there. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on various spring topics and things that we've not even thought about. I'm sure that there's many.
We'd love for more specific, the track stuff.
Yeah.
You know, getting a little bit more detailed there in terms of breaking down some topics and some different things there. I think that would really add to our track coverage.
Okay. All right. Until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for everyone here at DBK Media Services, and of course, for Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.